I have a serious question to ask you guys before we start this episode that's very serious. Are you guys wing snobs? What's your stance on boneless wings?
You mean nuggets?
I'll eat it all. Give it to me.
Okay.
Just don't
my
give
stance
me a salad.
Is, I love boneless wings. I know they're giant nuggets, but I don't care. I don't like eating with my hands if I don't have to. Straight up.
I'm the same way. I don't like eating meat off a bone. I just don't usually like it because I hate getting messy. Same like if I get a burger and it's all pouring out. Yes. I hate that. So,
and I'm not one to like slurps those like wings where it's like down to the bone, like you eat the cartilage. I don't like the cartilage. I don't have any of that with bone.
Like the cartilage.
People are just like, oh, that's giant nuggets. I'm like, you know what? Well, I freaking love nuggets too. I don't care.
Yeah. But I can acknowledge that it's nuggets, but I'm not going to turn it down.
Exactly.
So, I don't care. Wings.
We're never
wings,
turning it down.
Chicken's chicken.
We're not monsters.
That's what I'll say. On that note, welcome back to Not a Strong Start, a podcast by filmmakers who talk movies, television, and never turn down boneless wings. I'm your host. No. Will they, won't they?
Why won't you just die? But I also will not turn down wings.
And I am, don't give me a salad. Give me boneless chicken wings.
Thank you. That actually goes perfectly.
Sauce them up. Come on.
We avoid eating with our hands if we need to. We're civilized people now. They invented forks and a knife for a reason. Give me that. But I don't think anyone's going to catch what our trend for this week is. But this week, we're going to talk about either movie or television tropes, storyline tropes that have been so overused, they need to die.
Yeah. And not also storyline tropes, but just sometimes industry trends themselves that just need to go away.
Trends that have already been overused. Give us some originality. But first, we're going to hit you with a current event.
We had Black Panther come out in November. We just had The Way of Water come out in December. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I didn't know, there was a little competition happening. So Kate Winslet, during the filming of The Way of the Water, actually beat Tom Cruise's underwater record. He had set a record when he did Rogue Nation of like 6 minutes. And then Kate Winslet came and said, take your record and shove it because I'm going to do 7 minutes and 14 seconds underwater to set the new record. Jeez. And I guess one of the actresses in Wakanda who also started doing the water training came close to beating Kate Winslet's and didn't. They would do the interview. She started off her first time was 30 seconds. And then later that day, she jumped all the way up to 6 minutes and 30 seconds. I guess she came close, but never surpassed Kate Winslet. So Kate Winslet is still the underwater queen.
She needs to be in the water, though, so whatever.
You said Way of the Water?
Is it the Avatar movie? What was that called?
Oh, I didn't even know she was. I didn't realize she was in that.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
I saw it. She must have been one of the Avatars then. But
Must have been very memorable.
This makes her character even worse then, because she could have been in the water and let Jack up there on the door, right? Come on.
Exactly. Come on.
Exactly. Do you think
we should never have proved this?
No. Do you think she did it? Do you think she had the bigger wingspan because Tom Cruise is so little? He's a littler man with little lungs. What do you think it was?
It could be. Or maybe she has extra lung space where her heart isn't.
Main topic. So we want to talk about things that have just been way overused, and we want some more originality. Jose, do you have any backstory, anything at all before we go right into these? Anything you want to say?
No backstory. Is when we were coming up with this concept, it's just there's always things that you either read about with the movie industry or when you're watching a movie where it's just like, oh man, I don't like that.
Enough.
Oh, that annoys me. Oh, that needs to go away. Oh, that again. I thought it would just be a fun episode to just kind of, what's our pet peeves when it comes to the industry? What do we want to go away? You know, what do we want to not last underwater for that long?
Just kind of, what do we want to drown?
Just Mario Brothers
need to drown,
all the way down.
Drown.
There you go. Yes. Okay. I like it. So let's start off with the first one.
All right. For the first one, I have what needs to die is the releasing of so many trailers for a movie or a TV show. These days, we get 3, 4, 5 trailers sometimes. And by the time you get to the last trailer, you know 50% of the movie. You know, give me one, max 2 good trailers, a teaser and a regular.
Yeah.
And then leave it at that. If you haven't caught my interest at that point, that's a you problem, not a me problem. But you're ruining the movie for me when these little moments would have been great experiencing them, and you threw it in the trailer.
Yeah, like when we grew up, you know, not to age ourselves, but in the, you know, 90s, in the 90s, I don't remember trailers much at all. And if there was, it was like maybe one. We did not get like 5-7 different trailers. Like, they always ruin storylines, the plot lines. We even talked about the Evil Dead, you know, the new one that's coming out. The last trailer gave us so much details. I already know what happens in the movie. Like, I already know it. I don't even feel like I need to watch anymore. I'm getting nothing out of it.
No. Trailers in the 90s, man. So it was like, summer.
This summer. You've never seen Tom Cruise like this. He holds his breath under the water for 8 minutes. Like, damn, really? The last one we had it for 7:13, but not this summer. It's like, got you. All right.
They barely played any of the scenes sometimes where it's like, out here, I'm going to watch an older movie that I haven't seen from like the 90s. I'm like, let me check the trailer. And it's so different. They barely show any of the scenes. Like you said, it was always like, there's a guy who finds out that he needs to investigate something, and he investigates it, and everything goes to hell. And that's it. There's your trailer.
Yeah,
you got the concept. You don't need no details.
Got me.
What happened to that guy? What happened to that guy? There's none of that anymore. He's out of work now. That's it.
All you get is like flashes, a loud noise. A guy turns just off camera and says, "Why won't you just die?" Boom. Hit him with the tagline. It's like, hey, got me sold.
I'm in. That's it. You got me in the seat.
You got me. There's Harrison Ford. Got me. So here's one that is so annoying, and I wish that American TV shows do all the time, that I really wish they adopted what the UK does. They'll have comedy shows like The Office that go on way too long. So one thing that the UK does is that, you know, they had their own version of The Office, and they had, you know, the show, another show with Ricky Gervais called Extras. They'll do two seasons. Mm-hmm. People love it. They stop. And then they'll do like a movie that's like 2 hours long that takes place usually a couple years after to kind of catch you up with what the characters did. They'll close out the story, and that's it. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Instead, we get The Office that went on way too long. Steve Carell leaves. And then, like, why are we still getting the show?
No.
Stop. Like, stop that. Modern Family went on too long. Yeah. I liked these shows, but then it just went on too long. I loved Arrested Development. It got canceled after the second season. It came back, but then it just wasn't the same. And it was too many years later. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's too late. Keep your stories concise.
Go on too long, and the seasons are too long. Like, our seasons are like, what, 20 something episodes, and the British TV is like, what, 6 episodes a season?
Six, sometimes eight, they call it a series.
Yep. My dad doesn't watch any American TV because of that reason. He only watches British shows. Because he's like, it's too long. I don't want to, it's your whole, like, half your life in there, you know? You're just too much time.
Too much. Can't stop, will stop. Can't stop, will stop.
Better stop.
I feel that's not comedy exclusive. Like, I feel that's with all the genres of shows where they don't go in.
Walking Dead?
Yeah. They don't go in with a set storyline, like, we're going to tell our story, we're going to go. They don't Breaking Bad it. That kind of left at its peak because it told the story. Yeah. They're like, oh man, we still got viewership. There's still money coming in. Put something together real quick. Let's keep it going until people get tired of it. Mm-mm. And I feel like that hurts the historic reputation of a show because sometimes you start remembering the bad season. It just lowers the overall quality of what could have been a memorable show all around.
And if you want to do more of that, then do spinoffs. That's how you could still do spinoffs. Mm-hmm. And you could say, oh, I didn't like that spinoff show, but the original was still amazing. That's how you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can kind of open it up a little bit. So, like The Last of Us, it's so good. And they set up things that they could do spinoffs. Please end it after 2 or 3 seasons. Please. Like, don't go on beyond that. We really don't need it. Do spinoffs. Do like a movie. But, like, really, please have an ending. Don't carry this on too long because it's always – because you can't help – you can't separate it as two separate shows. It's one show because you keep continuing the storyline. So if you go to season 6, season 7, season 8, it's just too damn much. Stop. End it. Yeah. Do a spinoff.
Yeah. I'm tired. Yeah. I don't need another Westworld, another Handmaid's Tale that's hanging around too long.
Like, hell no.
I don't need to see her not escape another five times.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Stop drawing this out. Oh my God, get on with it. Number one, the number one thing that I can't stand, and I'll literally just be screaming at the TV, like, how is when, say, in like a horror movie, there's like the killer or there's like a monster, and then they'll like stab it in the neck and they'll be like, leave. And they're not dead. Just, you have to cut their head off. You have to shoot them in the head. Like, make sure they're dead before you walk away.
Yes.
I don't care if that ends the movie. Be smart. Stop being stupid.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Stupid people in horror movies. I can't stand it. And you know what? I thought with the movie Barbarian, I was like, finally, this girl's being smart. And then it was just like, no, you're just dumb. You're all just, why? I was like, finally, look, she's locking. Yeah. And then, no, she just ended up being stupid. Like, can we just have, like, some smart people in horror movies? Just one? Just, like, kill people, please? Just kill the bad guy?
Scream did it smart. Like, you had to do it in a smart way. Scream did it well. But, like, if you have a character, like, let's say they're going to shoot them and then they're out of bullets, well, then now that explains why they couldn't do it. But their original thought process was, I'm going to kill them more.
Yes.
Come up with a reason not to, then. Come up with a reason not to if that's what you want to do. But you can't just have them willingly just walk out. It's stupid. Stupid.
I hate it when the friend comes in and they're like, no, don't. You're dead. Don't worry. I'd be like, no, flip Hell home. No. I'm killing this.
Do you want to be next? Yeah. Then let me do what I got to do.
Then let me do what I got to do. Yeah.
No.
Do you want the sequel? Do you want a sequel? I don't.
I don't. Yeah. They're like, actually, I do. I kind of need money. I need a paycheck.
100% true. Like, with Barbarian, is like, she lost intelligence as the movie went on. It was like she was not as smart as well through. And then Scream did do it well. Until they started falling into the same tropes that they were pointing out. Like the last Scream, you had a major character die because they didn't quadruple tap in the hospital, where it was like, you should know by now. You've been in like five of these movies. You go into, there's nothing left of this person. And what did it do? It got Huey, Dewey, whatever his name is, killed.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. He got all three of them did. Huey, Dewey, and Louie got it because they didn't kill him.
Even the news got it. For my next one, I have the continuous expansion of streaming services. Everyone and their mother and their mother's mother and the mother of their mother that doesn't really know they're the mother because there's an illegitimate child and their mother is getting a streaming service. That is as convoluted as these streaming services are getting, because literally every channel wants to get like their own thing. Like, even PBS is probably getting a streaming service. And it's like, so now streaming made everything convenient. We didn't have to deal with the issues of cable and all of that stuff. But now, depending on what we want to watch, we got to hold 5-6 streaming services. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jose, I was actually going to surprise you that we have our own streaming service of Nas coming, but I guess. Sorry.
No, Dad. No.
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 I know. It's too many, man. Because before it was supposed to be like, it was supposed to be the alternative to cable, right? Because cable was too expensive. It's like $70 a month. So now you can get Netflix for like $5.99. Now, yet in order to get them all, it's like more expensive than it is to have cable now. Like, everything has a streaming service. Paramount has a streaming service. Why does Paramount have a streaming service? Like, seriously, like, I understand like NBC, right? NBC Universal, because they own so much stuff. I understand Disney. Paramount? Like, Paramount has their own?
Discovery had his own streaming service.
Why? Yeah. Like, people would just watch that like at 2 a.m. because nothing else was on. Like, I'm not going to pay money to watch that.
Bananas?
I was gonna say Bonanza. I was gonna say Bonanza, but I was like, Bonanza has nothing to do with
his own streaming service. People, they can't, in the industry, they can't just let things be and be like, hey, that was a good idea. Everyone has to like jump in and do like the same thing. We get it with everything. Netflix had something, and then, you know, Hulu kind of jumps in. Everyone else is like, well, they're doing well. We should all do it also. And you get that with everything. Now everyone has a streaming service. Everyone has their own seltzer. Now everyone has their own. Remember that Huawei?
Yes.
Everyone had their own energy drink. It's like,
There's a lot of seltzer out there.
That's what I was going to say. Welcome to this week's Nas episode. We're sponsored by Nas Energy Drink. Drink your seltzer. It comes in banana flavor.
Mm-hmm. And bonanza flavor.
And bonanza flavor. That one's for the extra punch of spiciness.
And then one show will leave one streaming service and go to another streaming service, and that show will go to that streaming service. And so you have to have them all if you want to keep watching this. It's like, what? Why? Just Pokemon. Stay on one. I don't know.
Pokemon. You got to collect them all. It's the only way you can watch something. And that's annoying with movies, is where they keep going from streaming service to streaming service. We're like, I literally have to Google where a movie's streaming just for me to watch it, because I don't even know where it is anymore. They're gone after a month, and it's like, make up your minds, please. That's why I get the Disney's. Like, okay, Disney owns Fox. They have Disney. They own Marvel. Mm-hmm. Pixar. It's very easy for me to know where it's at. But sometimes they're not even streaming their own content. Some Disney movies are on something else, and it's like, oh my, oy vey. Like, how do I do this? It's annoying. Very frustrating.
It is. Mm-hmm.
And then Netflix is trying to crack down on password sharing. So now I have to get my own now. Like, come on, let me steal it. So that way it's easier for each of us to subscribe to one, and we just password share all around us. Yeah. Come on, people. Stop making it easy. It is.
They don't care about the people.
Here's one
This
that
is
I
why
have.
People steal.
Yes, exactly. So here's one that I have that's actually in my name. Will they, won't they? They do this all the time. It's like the whole like Ross Rachel thing in Friends. Will they, won't they get together? It's so awful how many times they've done it now. So like, Jose, we watched the show Blockbuster. We watched the first, three episodes, I think we said, before we quit it. You already know, like when they introduce characters, you already know, will they, won't they? And in that one, the protagonist, like his love interest, just got out of a divorce, but they were friends when they were young. So you already know they're going to hook up. Some have done it very well, but it's been done so much that like at least 80% of them are done so awful. And it's just not even a surprise. It's so obvious. And it's always like, well, why haven't they hooked up yet? Oh, and then they make believe certain little obstacles in a way, but it's so stupid. And you know, they're just going to end up together anyways. The Office did it pretty original. You know, she was engaged. Like, you see why some stuff, but other stuff, it's just been done so much, will they, won't they, that it's just, it's annoying. It's annoying.
No, I agree. Almost at this point, you can't do anything. If you were to believe these TV shows, you can't do anything without having that will they, won't they, like, relationship. Every job is going to have it, every activity you do. And it's literally everywhere. I want just to start the show with them already together. And you know, like, let's work from there. Yeah. Or have them, can we get a will they, won't they hate each other? And kind of just go with that. Like, let's reverse it. Like, let's get something fresh.
Movie plot. That's a rom-com waiting to happen. I like it.
And then they'll do the will they, won't they, and then they will, and then they'll split up, and then there's more will they, won't they again. That's the worst. I hate that. At least in The Office, as much as I hate Pam Beasley, they stayed together, and they, you know, like, at least there was no.
Oh my gosh, I need some details now. Yeah, I need some details.
I have a whole I hate Pam thing on my Instagram page where I complain about her. Really? She didn't support Jim's dream. She did. No, I can't get into it. No.
Hey.
When he's doing that whole athlete thing, and she's so, I'm like, this is his dream. Okay, no, sorry, I can't.
I saw the vein pop up in the neck. Like, oh, okay. This is passion.
That's my, I hate Pam vein. She makes it clicks.
I like
But it's true. You make a good point. Like, they don't just do the will they, won't they. They bring them together and they do it again. And it's always the dumbest miscommunication. Things that realistically one person in real life just has to say one sentence, problem is solved. But it's always some miscommunication that most likely will not happen in real life, just to give you two more seasons of will they, won't they.
Which always makes you question the love. So they really loved each other, and this thing is so stupid. Why wouldn't they trust each other? Why wouldn't they try to talk it out and try to work it out? So then I don't believe the love part of what they're trying to sell us. And it's like, nah.
And this is just like something I hate seeing in every TV show and movie, is women always ordering and eating salads everywhere they go. Like, I watch The Office, and during lunch, every woman is eating a salad. Every single one. They go for dinner. Yeah, I'll just get a salad. And the guy's like eating a steak. It's like, no, man, get the steak. Like, honestly. But that's it. I just don't want to see women always eating salads. That's all. We get it. You're supposed to be skinny. Who cares? Eat the steak. Get a burger. Get that burger like in the menu.
The menu.
Oh,
already knew. Burger. Already knew. Yeah. The best thing about that movie was the burger.
Yep. The only good thing about that movie was that burger.
Yeah, it was a mighty good burger.
That was a mighty good burger. It inspired me to go get Five Guys burgers. Yeah. Right after I saw that movie, I literally went to go get a Five Guys burger. So good.
With Cajun fries? Did you get the Cajun fries?
Of course. Yes.
Duh.
Yes. With the hot sauce and the ketchup, and the key is to pour the hot sauce into the ketchup and mix it around, and you make spicy ketchup with the Cajun fries.
Yeah.
Five Guys, we're looking forward to your sponsorship.
Yeah. The joy of cooking with Daniel. If you want more cooking tips,
follow and subscribe. Yeah. It kind of goes with that whole thing about how they're trying to like glorify women, like, you know, be skinny, be healthy, be this, but it's like it's unrealistic. So it's putting unrealistic expectations on young girls growing up watching this, like, oh, I can only eat salads now. It's like, eat what the hell you want. I'll just eat a salad.
What about the reverse of this? Why can't a guy get a salad? We can eat healthy too.
Yeah.
Jose, you and I know damn well every time we've gone out, we have never gotten a salad.
No, but it's the principle of
but
it.
But we can.
I want the option to get a salad, even though I will never get the salad.
That's true. Yeah, that's
let
true.
Men eat salads.
Making movies with the possible sequels, driving it. Instead of making like a singular good movie, so many movies are made with the sequels in mind. Like this has to connect to a movie that might not happen because this movie might bomb. Like make a singular contained movie. If it's good, if it's successful, then build on that after. Don't give me this stuff that I might not see again. Because how many times have I seen a movie or a TV show where they're like overly building for the future instead of focusing on the now, and then it fails, it gets canceled, it bombs, and we never get those answers at all. So I want more of in the now singular movies.
I have an example for that. So when Pirates of the Caribbean, when the first one came out, The Curse of the Black Pearl, that is by far their best movie of the whole franchise. That came out as a singular film. They didn't expect for it to have a sequel because they didn't know how it was going to do. Fun little fact. Did you guys know that they wanted, I think it was Robin Williams to play Jack Sparrow?
They could have pulled it off.
That's who they wanted. So it was supposed to be that kind of performance. So Johnny Depp, they had to convince the studio to have Johnny Depp as the role. And then when they first saw him, they thought he was so too flamboyant that they didn't get it. And then the fans ate it up and it changed everything. But the reason why I bring that up is the first one was seen as a singular film and it was amazing. When they came out with the second one, it was already a two-part movie. And that's where it lost me. And that's where the franchise, you know, even though it was doing well, the critics didn't like it and the fans weren't loving it as much, is because then they saw it as a franchise and it completely changed everything.
Although sometimes we have like Fast and the Furious, who I swear they make every movie as a singular movie. And then afterwards, find a way to backtrack and bring people back to life to reuse them in order to make sequels. That's a franchise that has wants to be a franchise. It's this longstanding franchise, but you could tell it does really no planning towards the future. They just wing it for the familia.
That actually helps segue me to the next one. So one that I have is, this was more dedicated to TV, but movies absolutely too, where they change tones. So Fast and the Furious, the first movie was all about street racing. It completely changed tones, and it's now something entirely different. The only time I've ever seen that work was the Mission Impossible franchise. Other than that, they keep changing tones. So the reason why I bring this up is because there was a really hilarious, funny show called Pen 15. I thought Pen 15 was hilarious. And it's about these, you know, like women like in their 30s, but they grew up around the 90s era. So they play like seventh graders, but they're grown women, and all the cast around them are actual seventh graders. And it's like a coming of age story, but it's funny. The first season was so hilarious to me. And then they got like a lot of like accolades and they got like a lot of attention on them. So what do they do for season 2 and 3? All of a sudden it became a lot less funny and they started making a lot more dramatic. And that's where they lost me because it stopped being what it was intended to be. The first season was so hilarious, and they got so serious with it that like it feels like an entirely different show, and like I'm off of it now. Like they lost me. When I thought the first season was so good and I was telling people to watch it, people that I thought would like it, they changed the tone on me. And when they do that with movies, even like franchise, like Fast and the Furious, I like the first Fast and the Furious movie. Part 10, I haven't even seen the last four or five Fast and the Furious movies, and it's like it's not even the same movie. Like you lose your original target audience. That there's a reason why you became popular, because that's people were like preaching for you and speaking for you. Like you're not speaking for them anymore. So nah.
I agree with that. Like 100%. That tells me you're not confident in your product, because you didn't continue with what brought you there. You know, your lack of confidence, like, okay, now I got to switch it up in order to keep it going and bring people in, all that stuff, and not realizing, like, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. So that's what that tells me as a viewer when I see such a drastic change. Like, I understand injecting a little bit of another genre, you know, maybe add a little bit of seriousness, like in an episode here or there. We've seen plenty of good comedies that have their serious moments. But to do like a complete like 180, you have no confidence in your original product.
I feel like Brooklyn Nine-Nine did that a little bit. I used to love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Then it went to NBC or something, like a different network picked it up. Mm-hmm. And then it suddenly got more like, there's a message in this episode. And I was just like, no, just be funny. Just be funny. I don't need to know like these messages. Like even that slight little tone change like that, I just stopped watching it. I was like, nah, it's not the same show.
Here's one that I know, Jose, you maybe you wouldn't notice it, but Mythic Quest. The first season of Mythic Quest I thought was hilarious. The latest season of Mythic Quest, it became that they changed the tone just slightly, Marie, but it was enough to completely change for me. The show feels so like vanilla now. Like it just lost the heart of it, and it just feels like a... Okay, so I used to watch the show Scrubs. I love Scrubs. But by the very end of Scrubs, when they tried continuing, it was like the new crop of, you know, students, whatever they had. It felt so like a fake show. It didn't even feel like real people anymore. Mythic Quest completely went there. The characters don't feel real to me. There's no real heart to it anymore. It feels so surface level. The acting feels way over the top. Like, it just feels so fake. And I lost it. Like, I don't like shows like that or movies like that where I can't identify with the people. They don't feel like real people anymore. I'm out.
Bonanza.
Bonanza out. And we mentioned this earlier, that kind of also tells me that, like with a show like Scrubs, maybe you went too long. If you feel like you needed a shift so extremely because you're losing ratings or you're losing audience, maybe you've gone too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually when it happens, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just have the overuse of CGI, especially on characters. I don't like my example of this was, I don't know if I'm gonna pronounce this guy. You've seen The Hobbit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the main guy, what's his name? Azog or something, like the big orc looking guy, and he's like CG. I was like, why did they do that when in Lord of the Rings, like the Uruk-hai is like the scariest? Like they're real people with makeup. And when you put a CG character, it's like, well, I'm not scared of you. You're just like a cartoon. Like it's like it wasn't threatening or anything. So I know it's cheaper. Dan, you said it's like cheaper to do a bunch of CG stuff. It's like, but it takes away so much of the, I don't know. It's not organic. I don't like it. I don't like to see it. I don't like how the Star Wars prequels. Everything good about Star Wars was ruined because all the CG they had for that. Mm-hmm. Especially with like characters or like little, use a puppet. Come on now.
It became a completely business decision at that point, which I hate. And it is business. It's cheaper. So they're able to put those, the budget towards other things. And usually what those things are, pockets. It usually goes to the producers. It usually goes to the actors. They could pay them more money. That's what it ends up becoming. It doesn't become about the craft anymore, and it's unfortunate because that's what we get, and I totally agree with you.
That's funny because we're in the same wavelength here, because one of mine was from the other angle. It was the the slow fading of practical effects needs to die off. Like, stop fading that away so much. You know, you gave those examples. I'll even point to the Ninja Turtles. All the new Ninja Turtle movies, does not, the turtles look nowhere close to as good as the guy in suits. You know, even when I can see the guy's eyes through the mouth, I will take that over whatever the hell we got from Michael Bay.
Yeah, I agree. And that also gives jobs to the practical visual effects artists. Like, a lot of them are losing money and losing jobs because it's all going to visual effects artists. And I know that there's people behind the computers that are doing that. So, you know, bravo to them, but they're always going to have Pixar projects they could work on. These people are not, and there's such an art form for it. I used to watch that show Face Off. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched.
Oh, yeah, I love Face Off. I love that.
It was so, so awesome. So good. And that's why when we were doing work for Famous Monsters, we met, oh, damn, his name is slipping my mind right now. Michael Westmore. That's what it was. The guy that, did, like, he was behind it, and, like, his daughter was, like, the host of it. It was awesome, but, like, to hear that type of thing, there's such an art to that, that it combines the visual arts with the filmmaking aspect, and, like, you see it. So when we did Late to the Game, plug that episode, when we talked about American Werewolf in London, the practice, like, you can appreciate, and even us watching it, we know it's a movie. So, like, no, I'm not believing that these werewolves are real, but to see that, you can't help but understand the people that were on set actually creating it and doing it, and there's an appreciation as you're watching it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, how did they do this? How did they do? If it's CG, I'm like, oh, they just did it on a computer, fine. But, like, if it's, like, something tangible, someone made with their hands, like, oh, it's how do you guys do it?
And it can take you so out of it, especially in horror. I don't know if you guys have seen La Llorona.
Yeah.
From a couple of years ago. Like, I remember watching that, and it was like, okay, very, what's the very Conjuring and the atmosphere and all of that stuff. And then when she pops up and you see her, I laughed. I'm like, that's it. Yeah. That's her. That's what we got. It completely, like, takes you out of it, which is why, like, I feel we need to give props to the Guillermo del Toro's, to the Christopher Nolan's, who are still firm believer in practical effects and making things happen with their hands rather than computerized. I'm not anti-CGI, but I feel there should be a balance. There's too much leaning towards CGI and not enough leaning towards practical effects.
Yeah, and that kind of runs with music. CGI is the auto-tune, where it's like, do we have any real singers anymore? Like, my goodness, everything's auto-tuned. That's how I was feeling with CGI. I'm like, do we have any real practical effects art? I know we do, because they have schools dedicated to this stuff. There's so many talented kids and dudes, people, women out there. And, like, why are we not seeing any of this stuff? Like, why are we not seeing their work? Like, give us, come on, give us this.
The sad part is T-Pain can sing. Like, that's, he doesn't even need the auto-tune.
I'm
like, what are you doing?
Lovely voice.
Yeah.
Ruins it.
It does. It, like, it. It's just too much. It's too much. Like, I get it using it sometimes, but when you're just overly saturated with it, it becomes, it just feels like it's too much.
Laziness. Too
much. It feels a lot like laziness. It really is. And you even have a lot of the actors that are, they don't want to sit there and make up for 6, 7, 8 hours. So some of them are like, I don't want to do that. You know, put green dots on me, we're good to go. I'd rather take practical. Yeah. Give me that.
Every day, any day. Yes.
Next, I have next. So I have here the Hollywood thematic runs. Basically, when something hits, everyone tries to replicate it so much that they just burn it to the ground. You know, we had some examples I have here is we had with, like, zombies. You know, you had like 28 Days Later come out. It is a day and all of a sudden, everyone wanted to do a zombie movie, zombie show. It was, like, everywhere, and they literally just burnt it to the ground. Where now it's like, do I want to see a zombie thing? They did it for a while there. I think in the 2000s, they had, like, the whole dystopian movies where you have, like, all these, like, youth, like, teenagers and things like that that are trying to save something. You know, you had your Maze Runners and your, I forget what some of the other ones are, but you had that like exploded. And then now it's like everyone wants a shared universe because it was successful with Marvel. Yeah. So even things that it was like, why would you even need a shared universe want to do a shared universe? Like even the Blood and Honey that are coming out, they're planning to do a shared universe with like Evil Peter Pan and Evil Bambi that they have coming out also. So it's like, stop that. Let something be good. Everyone doesn't need to jump on board and just follow the trend until they absolutely kill it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like, and you already know what's coming. So like take the show Wednesday, right? Wednesday, Super Mega the Popular's first season. She did the dance, TikTok, it's everywhere. You already know the next wave of all those copycat shows are going to be coming out with people trying to attack that same demographic group. Like it's inevitable. What do they care? I don't know. Like, but they're going to do something. Like you
I don't
tell
like
gonna...
it, Dan.
I don't like it. I don't either, man.
I don't like it.
It's original. And all this stuff comes down to everything we're complaining about is what? The lack of originality. Like, that's what we're getting upset about is give us originality. And unfortunately, a lot of or some people that are making these business decisions or whatever it is, it's all based off of business and it's not about the art of whatever it is that we're watching anymore. That's why they keep oversaturating it. They're trying to milk us. They don't see it as in we had one good project and it's amazing. We're going to leave it as is. They think I'm going to squeeze the hell out of it until everybody gets tired of it and then move on to the next thing. And that's why we're like, we're over. Like, you're killing our brands and the things that we love. Mm-hmm. Star Wars became so overly saturated. It was way too much, right? It wasn't until we got Andor. It was like, yes, you gave us something good. But Disney, it's when they got their hands on it, I was a little nervous that they were going to oversaturate it. Like, I knew they were, and that's exactly what they did. It's just way too many cartoons, way too much content, where, like, there's even content of Star Wars I haven't even seen. And I was, like, religiously following Star Wars back in the day, and it's just, it's too much. Too much.
It is too much. Too much of a good thing sometimes is, you know, it's too much.
Bonanza.
Bonanza.
Yeah. And I think... you know, we're going to get the same thing too. Last of Us is showing success now. It looks like Super Mario Brother has a lot of promise. So we might see this thematic run happen with video game adaptations over the next like 3, 4, 5 years until they absolutely drive it into the ground and we get back to like the original Super Mario Brothers and Street Fighter. Mm-hmm.
So here's one that they used to always do in TV shows usually. They always did the unexpected baby. What I'm talking about is what we would say. They'd have a couple seasons and all of a sudden there's like a new baby or a Brady Bunch was known as it. Cousin Oliver. They just popped out of nowhere. They did it in Modern Family where the Al Bundy, his character, they had like Al the Bundy. New little boy. Yeah. Just a random kid that just pops up and it's like, hey, we need some new blood to the show. That's always a red tell of, it means it's going on too long. You don't need new blood, just end it. You had your run, end it. Don't bring on new little kids to add new dynamics. That was always like a jump in the shark moment for me. Was you always knew it was a kiss of death. Like you ran out of ideas. Just like we joke around with once they go to space, it's three movies too long already. It's the same thing.
Once they pop out a baby.
Once you pop out a baby or new little element, it's over.
Never jump the baby because then it's over.
Never jump. Baby shouldn't be jumped on, period. And you already did that.
Something I don't like seeing in movies ever, and I wish that they never show again. It doesn't make sense. It's when there's a bad guy and a good guy in a movie, and they're trying to kill each other the whole movie, and they finally come face to face in a face off, and then they're just, I'm like, hey, shoot him right now, kill him. Yeah. And they're just like, no, we're gonna have an epic convo right now, actually, first, and then something's gonna happen, and they're not gonna die. I'm like, whenever I see that, I'm just like, shoot them, now's your chance right there. And it's like, you did this, you killed my wife. It's like, shut up, kill him. God,
it's like the Dragon Ball Z. No, like Dragon Ball Z would always do that, but it was a famous thing of 007. Stop talking and just put the laser in his body.
Yes!
They never do. It's the evil villain monologue. So he's what they call it.
At least maim him a little bit so he's not a threat anymore. Yeah. You know, get one in the leg, one in the hand so he can't hold the gun. Yeah. Then go up to him and like something. Tell him what you need to tell him.
Or even like when the good person gets like the bad guy and they have to tell the bad guy like how he's like, they don't care. Just kill them. Like, just kill them. quite a bit of my things are like, just kill people. Just kill them already. Yes. Bonanza that bitch. Come on.
Bonanza.
Something that needs to die off is extra long movies that could have been under 2 hours. I feel over the last like 5-10 years or whatever, everyone wants to do like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie. Even action movies are approaching 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, things like action movies, horror, they should be a brisk 130, maybe 145. You know, overall, and this is like a psychological thriller, it needs to run like at a slower pace. But we don't need that much. Tell a nice, concise story. Move on. Don't need the extra in there, because then by the end of it, I'm thinking more about how much time you wasted out of my life rather than what you did good in the movie. It's just tell your story. Get the fluff out of there. Cut down scenes that don't need to be over there. Yeah. So... yeah, they're just turning into such a bonanza all the time.
I know. Why are they bonanzing everything?
Yeah.
And that's, it's interesting. It's ironic, I should say, because we have shorter attention spans now. So why are you giving us longer movies? Like, you're giving us longer cut versions of everything. And it's like, it feels like the director cut, but it's their original cut. And then when you see a director's cut of that, I'm like, it's even longer? Like, that's even longer. This thing's even longer? It's like, geez, I got something I got to do today. Damn.
Yeah.
Way too long, man. I hear you. It's like excruciatingly long, like unnecessarily long. Why are rom-coms 2 hours and 20 minutes? Like, why? Why do we
Judd Apatow?
Yes, yeah. Man. It's too much. It's just too much. It's just
we don't need 2 hours.
No, just give it
of will they won't they.
Yes, exactly. Just give us the best parts and cut out the good to like mediocre parts, and your projects will be so much better. That's it.
Over the last month, I've been just mixing in some like 90s thrillers, 90s action movies, things like that. And so many of them are hour and 25, hour and 30, hour and 35. Yeah, straight to the point. There's the killer. He goes for the killer. He finds the killer. He solves the crime. Killer dead. Over. That's it.
Done.
I don't need to know about the killer's great aunt and what she did when she was like 4 years old. Don't need to know it.
No.
Yeah.
You're giving us the Anza and Bonanza. And it's too damn much. Yeah. I don't need that.
Too much.
Come on. So now we're going to do what's on the queue, but we're going to pick projects of the stuff that we just complained about, but actually did it well. Okay, what's on the queue? So I'll go first. Since I complained about Will They, Won't They had and how they overused it, one where they did it very well is When Harry Met Sally. That was a good way that they did it. That great rom-com, Will They, Won't They, they did such a good job, and they created a lot of copycats that try to do it, but Billy Crystal, phenomenal in the movie, but there you go. One of the best rom-com movies.
My favorite one of all time.
It's a good choice.
Favorite one.
Hey, yes. Go, Daniel. Go, Daniel.
One of the things I said was what Denis said is the slow fading of practical effects. So I'm going to go with Hellboy from Guillermo del Toro. And this was a movie that had good use of practical effects for its creatures in it. And it looked amazing.
Part one or part two?
Part one.
I like part two better, but part one was still really good.
I'm going to go with a movie that's kind of controversial and it's old. But it was a good way that I think where she had the bad guy there and she tried to kill him. It's Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I knew it. Good.
How did you know that? How did you know that's what I was going to say? How?
Okay, it wasn't specifically the Rob Zombie one, but I feel like you're going to go Halloween with it when you said she tried to kill him, because I mean, she tried.
Oh, well, so Halloween like, okay. H2O then would be, Halloween H2O would be it then. But also Rob Zombie's Halloween did it good because she like shoots him in the head at the end. Good. And that is the best scene in the movie. But Halloween H2O, scrap Rob Zombie, Halloween H2O. How do I forget about that?
I mean, I guess in the new one, they kind of made sure that he wasn't coming back. They did put him into like a grinder. So that was some reassurance.
If it was the right body. If it was the right body, right? That's always a question mark. We don't know.
Also, the movie's trash, so no.
As we said, it should have gone in the grinder itself. You know. But
yes.
Thank you for watching another episode of Not a Strong Start. Please like, subscribe, comment, share to YouTube channel, Not a Strong Start. You can listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcast. Please, again, comment. Tell us what you think. What are some tropes that you didn't like? Let us know your thoughts. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, Not a Strong Start. I'm your host, Will They, Won't They. You can follow me at King_Sangre.
I'm Why Won't You Just Die? And you can find me at This Is Me Nombre on Instagram.
Damn, Jose. You were talking to me when you said that. That's not even you giving your nickname.
Yeah, Dan.
And I'm Don't Give Me a Salad. Give me boneless wings any day at Marie Plays It All.
Nice.
On Instagram.
Wings.
People
wings,
can watch
wings,
your show.
Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Wings. Oh, yeah.
Like, so swings now. Swings. Yes. Oh, yeah. If people can watch my show, Marie Plays It All, on the Not a Strong Start YouTube channel. And yeah. Every Wednesday, 6 a.m.
There you go.
Every Woo! Wednesday, 6 a.m.
Central time. Yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah. Thanks, guys.
For Boneless every wings. Viewer who watches, free wings. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not happening. Don't hold us to that. Could. You're not getting free wings.
Wings. They're boneless, though, but who cares?
That's right. It's either wings or it's bonanza. You want to be on the boneless wing side. Let's go.